We're going to take a few moments with the Word this morning, and then you'll kind of figure out what's going on at the end. We have a wonderful ending for you. Some other folks here that are going to give thanks, and you'll see about that. If you have your Bible, I didn't ask Robbie to do this. Robbie, don't look it up. It's going to be too long. Turn to the Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Oh, thank you. Something for me. Oh, okay. Thank you. This morning we want to spend a few moments talking about continuous praise. Continuous praise. In Psalm 150, it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet and psalm. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Now, I figure after that that the psalmist had to have some Pentecostal in him, didn't he, Tammy? Said praise Him with dancing. Had to have some Pentecostal in him, didn't he? Amen. I knew that. Praise Him with stringed instruments and the pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Wish I had some. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now I want you to turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. The psalmist here, this is David. David is just, when he writes this psalm, has just come through and is still in the midst of a very difficult time. He is being chased by King Saul, who wants to kill him. He's had to fake being crazy. I do that quite often. And he writes this psalm as the Lord speaks to his heart in Psalm 34, beginning at verse 1. I just want you to listen as I read. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Listen to what David said. He says in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from my fears. Verse 5, they looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were never ashamed. This poor man, speaking of himself, cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around, surrounds those who fear Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him, there is no want. He speaks of being in the wilderness when he says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongues from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15, he says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, in verse 17 it says, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit. He speaks in verse 19, and we've been talking on Sunday nights and some on Sunday morning, that sometimes bad things happen to good people. Listen to what he says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. He's saying that it's not a health and wealth gospel world, that there are some bad things that happen to good people. David was a good man, anointed of God, but he's on the run for his life. But listen to what he says about this at the end of verse 19. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. In the book of Hebrews of the New Testament, if you'll turn there with me, Hebrews 13, the last chapter of Hebrews. If you get to Revelation, come back left. If you get to Philippians and some of that, keep going. It's the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Verse 15, in writing, Paul to the Jews and the church scattered, he says these words, through him, meaning Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of the lips and give thanks to his name. You know, during the good times, it's not difficult to praise the Lord. Days like today, it's not tough to praise the Lord, but sometimes the times are not so good. So what do we do? It says in the psalmist, he gives in 34, he says, I will continuously praise the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why do we do that? Well, there are three reasons I want to share with you very quickly this morning. First of all, the Lord hears our prayers and answers them. You have never uttered a prayer that the Lord didn't answer. Now, he might not have answered it the way you wanted him to. I am particularly glad that Adam's not in the service today. I know his mother wanted him to be here. But there were times when I would pray, Lord, if you don't kill him, I'm going to. Now, I know some of you parents, don't look at me spiritual. I know what you're thinking. You've never said that to your children. I did. In fact, I used to pray often that God would kill my older brother and sister. I would just go, Lord, take them out, take them out! And he answered those prayers, but they're still alive, okay? He gave me grace that I shouldn't be praying that way. There's not a prayer you've ever prayed. It may not be the answer you wanted, but it's the prayer that the Lord needed. It may have been a prayer for healing. It may have been a prayer for hope. It may have been a prayer for finances. Whatever it is, the Lord will answer those prayers. He'll do that. Sunday night, as my wife is leaving Lexington and heading to Forsyth, knowing that she's had a heart attack, having joined me in the heart club, I thought, you know, as I was traveling by myself, I'm trying to keep from being overwhelmed. As I said, Lord, I'm not ready to lose her right now. But you know, the amazing thing is I prayed for her during the whole time. And then the same thing, I guess it happens with folks, maybe some folks with a heart attack. The same with mine. When I was being rushed to Forsyth Hospital for an emergency catheterization, there was complete peace. The Lord never said, I'm going to take her. He never said he wasn't. He just gave me the sense that he was there. And as I made phone calls and began to make people aware, I would at times become a little overwhelmed and I'd want to break down. And then that sense of peace would just come over me. That's because the Lord answers our prayers. I want to let you know that the Lord also, it says in verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 34, listen, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I like this next part. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he rescues them. I really believe when I get to heaven and when I make it in, because I know the word triskaidiscophobia. Some of you will get that. You were here last week. And I'm going to be standing there and I'm going to be greeting people, but there are going to be a whole line of guardian angels. Because I guarantee I've worn out more than one. Amen. Don't look at me spiritual, Perry Tyler. You have too, brother, okay? Some of the rest of you. But it says that he rescues us. It means he's with us in the midst of our troubles. Here is David. He's been anointed of God, and he's going to be the king one day. He was just a little shepherd boy. And suddenly he goes and he serves the king. And like Joseph, he was faithful to his master. And he finds himself on the run in fear for his life. What had he done? Nothing. Nothing. Except he had the favor of the Lord on him. And here the psalmist, here David says that in the midst of my troubles, God is with me. In verses 17 through 19, he said, the righteous cry and the Lord hears them. They cry out to him. 18, the Lord is near the brokenhearted. I know some of you are here today and you're brokenhearted. Maybe you're crushed in spirit. The Lord is here. And he wants us to offer him praise. Do I offer him praise because I'm brokenhearted, because I'm afraid? No. I offer him praise because in spite of that, I look out on this congregation and I look at some women and I look at some men that have lost their mate. And I think of them and I think of the strength. It doesn't mean they haven't gone through a hard time. It doesn't mean they're not brokenhearted. It doesn't mean that they don't feel it. But I look at the strength that they've been able to carry on. And I know that it's not them. I know that it's His presence in them that allows them. I remember being at the hospital with Sylvia, if you mind if I use you this, about Jimmy's surgery. You know, we just didn't know. And though she was concerned and though others was concerned, Sylvia wasn't sitting there. Her hands weren't shaking. And yes, she was concerned, but there she knew that Jimmy was in God's hands. Something to be thankful for. The Lord is with us in the midst of our troubles. The Lord is with us even in the most difficult of times. Romans 8:28 says that the Lord works out the bad things and makes them okay. You know, it seems hard for folks to believe that even in bad times that it can be a good thing. Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you know the story of The Hiding Place and Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Becky. They are transferred to a place called Ravensbrück, a German Nazi concentration camp. And when they were thrust into the barracks that they were to try to live in squalor and there are rats there, and it's just the most inhumane place you could ever imagine, Becky, her sister, begins to say to Corrie, "We need to remember Psalm 34, that praise will always be on my lips." Now there they are, living in some place you just can't imagine. And one of the things they discovered very early on is the place was infested with fleas. You ever been somewhere infested with fleas? I had a college roommate. He was going to NC State. I think he was raising them. I was living in Raleigh, and he was my roommate, and I was working there. He had two beautiful Persian cats that decided to get fleas. So I would sit there in our apartment watching TV at night, and something would start biting me. It was fleas. That little booger can bite like a fire ant. If you don't believe it, try it out. Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Now here's Corrie Ten Boom and her sister saying, you need to give God thanks for everything. Give God thanks for the fleas. Listen, come on now. But they soon discovered something. Corrie and her sister were able to impact the people around them with Bible studies and prayer time, and the guards rarely ever came in the barracks. They never interrupted their prayer time. They never interrupted their witness, and they didn't understand that till later when they discovered that the guards didn't want to come in there and get fleas on them. See, God can even use an infestation of fleas for something good. He is with us in the midst of our troubles. Finally, verse 8 says that the Lord blesses abundantly. He blesses us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He has blessed the man and the woman who takes refuge in Him. Verse 9 says, "O fear the Lord, you saints. For those who fear Him, there is no want." Oh, folks. There's a lady who loved the Lord, didn't have a lot, but she loved the Lord, and she always wanted to praise Him, and she knew the Lord would bless her. So she raised her window like Daniel, and she began to pray to the Lord. Now, her neighbor was an atheist, and this woman would pray loud. I mean, this is a loud, praying, believing woman. Well, it got where she had her last bit of groceries. So she throws the window open one day and she begins to pray for the Lord to provide her groceries. Well, it's driving her neighbor nuts. He finally yells out the window, "Listen, you old hag! The Lord ain't going to provide nothing for you, so you need to stop that praying." She just went to praying harder. So he decides, "I'll teach her a lesson." He goes down to the grocery store and buys 3 bags of groceries. When she's not there, he slides over, puts them in front of her door, and knocks on the door and runs. Well, you know what she did. She stands there on the front step. She sees the grocery. She's overwhelmed. She's got tears in her eyes. And she's, oh, thank you, Jesus, for providing my grocery. Just carrying on. The whole neighborhood coming out, windows going up. And the old buzzard comes around the corner and he said, look, you old fool. I provided those groceries. I bought those for you. The Lord ain't giving you nothing. You know what the lady did? She lost her faith right there. Heck no. She raised her hands in the air and started doing a dance. She said, oh, Lord, thank you for providing for me and using the devil and his money to do it. Amen. The Lord blesses his children. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 5, have a wonderful word for us this morning. A wonderful word of closing. Now, don't any of you think that I can preach this short except at Thanksgiving, okay? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. This morning, we're going to close our service with a very special time of Thanksgiving. There's some folks here that want to take the opportunity to share with you that in the midst of their difficulty and in the midst of their pain, in the midst of loss, or the midst of not knowing the Lord the way they needed to, that God has blessed them. And we just want you to sit back and enjoy.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden me, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shore. Than I can be. There is no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders.
I can see.
saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Father, many more people than these in this congregation today have been touched by your blessings. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We're thankful unto you for Him, our Savior and Sustainer. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations.